So my name is Andrea Lam. I'm a program manager on the Azure OSS databases team, specifically kind of concentrating on MySQL. Quick show of hands, do any of you guys use MySQL today? Awesome. Do you guys do anything? Oh God. Better? Worse? Better? Okay, nope. Now? The best type of technical difficulties. All right, so like I was saying, I work on the MySQL team. So we recently made our service generally available back in March, and I don't know, do any of you guys use that currently? Awesome, and I hope some of you guys maybe use Postgres as well. We've been doing a lot to introduce our new OSS databases into the Azure environment as services, so I really hope you guys are enjoying using it, and you know, if you guys have any issues, you can contact me if you want, but preferably via CSS tickets. So today we are generally available in 24 regions, and we're working actively to make the service available in as many regions as possible. So if there are workloads that you want to deploy worldwide, we're definitely trying to make sure that you guys can use the service wherever you need it. My favorite marketing slide. So this is a little overview about our service. So we run the community editions of MySQL. We currently run 5.6 and 5.7, and we're working to make 8.0 available when it comes out. Running on fully community edition allows you to basically take any of your workloads that you're already used to working with, whether it's like your development language, frameworks, and tools, and just use them against this MySQL service that we have. Basically want to make as low overhead as possible for you guys to have to learn new tools. Basically use what you're already used to. We don't want to have to force any, you know, specific Microsoft tooling on you. With our elastic scaling and built-in HA, this basically means we offer a 99.99% SLA. For some of our other cloud competitors, you see that you have to basically deploy another replica in order to guarantee some type of HA or some type of availability. We provide this 99.99 SLA per single instance, so you don't have to go and double your costs for creating a new replica just to get that HA. Secure and compliant. Azure is one of the most secure clouds available. We're working to make sure that MySQL and Postgres services have all of the compliance and certification standards. That includes like ISO, HIPAA, and all the big ones. I know GDPR is coming up at the end of this month, so that's one of the big things that we're working on next. In terms of industry leading global reach, like I said, we're in about 40 regions in general in Azure, and we're in 24 right now, so look to see for more and more regions come up. Being part of the Azure ecosystem, we're really trying to integrate closely with as many of the services as possible. Obviously, you guys saw a lot about AKS in today's keynotes. There's also Power BI and all that. We're trying to make sure that all our MySQL and Postgres services are heavily integrated with as many services as possible to make development a lot easier for you guys, and to make sure that when you want to deploy a WordPress application, it's just a few clicks of a button, and we try to make sure that you guys don't have to do more work than you already have to. So today's demo is going to be focusing mostly on AKS, and we can talk a little bit more about what types of other services we're integrated with. One of the big ones that we see folks coming onto our service for is with the use of WordPress. We also have WordPress running in Azure App Services, so we basically have templates available in the Azure portal. It's a few clicks just to get a WordPress site up and running. You can get a MySQL database connected right to it, all within a few clicks, and it's all in the same subscription that you guys have, and all within the same resource group. And so, like I mentioned today, we're going to talk about the Azure Kubernetes Service, which is our managed Kubernetes service currently in preview. We're going to be using the Open Service Broker for Azure, or OSBA for short. And what this does is it helps us bind a bunch of different Azure services to our Kubernetes cluster. So as we're deploying the cluster and we're deploying WordPress to the cluster, it also creates a MySQL database for us and actually binds it to the service, so the service knows exactly where the MySQL database is and how to access it with secrets that it creates for us. All right, let me jump into the demo. Oops. Right. Okay, there we are. All right, so let's start with So I'm using the Windows subsystem for Linux. I kind of enjoy using bash more than I like command line for Windows. So we're going to start with this. And so basically, to create a new Kubernetes cluster, it's super simple. And I'm going to do all this within the Azure CLI. So I've installed the Azure CLI beforehand. And so we're going to create, root create, a new resource group. And all of the resources that I create today, whether it's my Kubernetes cluster as well as, the Kubernetes cluster for sure, is all going to go into this resource group. And you can use it to manage any resources that you create. So you can delete everything, or you can update things all kind of housed within a bucket. All right, make sure I get the right. We'll call it build. Oh no. And I'm going to put this in central US. Is that going? So the AKS service is available in a few regions. I think in the US, it's East US, Central US, and a few others. So I'm going to create this in Central US. Perfect. So as you can see here, it's created this resource group. It's called Build 2018 AKS Group. And then I'm going to create my cluster. So this is simple. So in this command, you can see it's doing an AKS create. I'm specifying the same resource group that I created in the previous command. And I'm going to name it OSBA Quick Start Cluster. And then it's also going to generate some SSH keys. So depending on which region you choose and the amount of resources available, it can take anywhere between like 10 minutes to about 30 minutes. I've experienced sometimes maybe like an hour or so, but you just kind of have to be patient with it. And in this command, if you kind of want to use an older version of Kubernetes, you can also specify the version. Right now, they default to the most recent version, which is 1.96. That's the most recent stable version that they're using. So in the background, this is going to run. In the meantime, I have an existing cluster that I'm going to use. Okay. So I have a cluster currently running in Central US as well. This one's called Build AKS Group. And what I'm doing right now is getting the credentials for it. And this will pass into my Kubernetes command line utility, basically the context for what Kubernetes cluster I'm trying to connect to. So as you can see here, it says merged OSBA Quick Start Cluster's current context. So if I, I just want to make sure that the cluster is up and running, it can basically run a get nodes command. Give that a few seconds. And what this is going to provide is, yes, so I have three nodes in my cluster. And when you create your cluster, you can specify as many as you want. You can also specify the number of cores that you want on the machines in your cluster. Basically, you can do, take advantage of all the power of the VMs that we have available in Azure and in the cloud. So like I said, you have three agents available right now, or three nodes. And I mentioned earlier in one of our previous, one of the previous slides that we're using the OSBA, so the Open Service Broker for Azure. And what this allows us to do is basically bind a bunch of Azure services to our Kubernetes cluster. But before we do that, we actually have to install something called Helm. And Helm, you can think of it like a package manager for Linux. It's kind of like your apt-get or your yum. And you can use it to install a bunch of different applications already available to you. So in this instance, one of the things I'm going to be deploying, obviously, is WordPress. And so to actually get Helm, we can actually initialize it, make sure it's up and running. All right, so Helm installs both a client side and a service side piece. And the service side is called Tiller. So when you initialize Helm, it also initializes Tiller on the service side. And that, that gets deployed across all of your nodes as well. All right, so using Helm, I had deployed the service catalog. And the service catalog is just basically a bunch of different listing of apps that I can install into my or deploy into my Kubernetes cluster. So you can see here that the catalog is already up and running, which is great. And then I also want to make sure I've deployed OSBA. So to deploy OSBA, you basically run another Helm install command, essentially. So I did that beforehand just because it takes a little bit of time. And so as you can see here, that's also running. So the open service broker for Azure running, and it's about 3 days old. And so now that I have all that deployed, I can now deploy WordPress across my three nodes. Again, I use Helm to do that. And so I should have it up and running. So let's double check. So one of the quick ways I'm going to check is to make to actually start the Kubernetes dashboard. So you can see here it's starting to serve locally. Swing over to Edge real quick. Make sure this is up to date. Perfect. And so when OSBA created my MySQL database on the back end when I deployed WordPress, it also saved all the credentials for the WordPress application as well as the database for me. So if I go into the OSBA Quick Start namespace and I head over to secrets, I can see here that there's the WordPress secrets. Let me zoom in here. So basically, it has a pointer to the database, pointer to the password, as well as the username. And so this is all for the database that's going to house all my my MySQL database that has all the WordPress data in it. Let me go back. And for the actual WordPress application itself, I have an admin user that it created for me, and it also gives me the password. So to ensure that I actually deployed WordPress on the cluster, let me go back to here. Stop that real quick. I'm able to actually grab the IP address for the WordPress site that was deployed alongside. And so this is just like your regular vanilla starter WordPress site here. And to actually make sure that I deployed it and I have the correct login credentials, I'm going to use the credentials that I have here. So I'll copy this password over. The username is user. Paste that in. We'll log in. So I'm inside the admin page, and let's create a new blog post. So I'm actually going to publish this. So this will publish to my WordPress site. And that generates a user-facing URL that I can send to you guys to comment on or to help me with my blog post. And so obviously, I can see all that inside the WordPress site, but I want to make sure that it actually wrote it to the database. So one of the quick ways to do that is to actually use MySQL Workbench. And if you guys have used this before, all right. And I have the secrets already saved in here. So I had taken the secrets from the Kubernetes dashboard here, the ones that I showed you guys. Bear with me. Oh, yeah, you're right. Thanks, Rachel. That's some teammate over there. All right. Cool. So let me double check back to the secrets. And so, like I said, it generates a bunch of different secrets for me. So the username, password, it also creates the data, shows me the database name as well as the server name or the host name. What's going on here? All right, so it's going to be here. So the database is MUC, something, something, something. Host is 2EB, et cetera, et cetera. So I pass all that along into MySQL Workbench, and I'm actually now going to connect to the database. Let me see if I can make this a bit bigger for you guys. Can you guys see this okay, even though it's like super small-ish? Okay. So the table that I'm really looking for is WP posts. And so it's going to be this table where all of the blog posts that I create will get written into this table. So I want to make sure I'm using the right data, the right table. And let's just query from here. All right, let's see if I can make this a bit bigger. Okay, it's not liking it. But if you squint, you can see that it says welcome to build, and it gets written directly into the database, into these two lines. One is for the actual draft that was created, and the other one is for the actual post that gets created. So there's two lines generated, essentially. So basically, this quick start in general just kind of encapsulate just how awesome it is and how quick it is to just deploy a bunch of different types of Azure services without having to do much. I ran a few commands in the Azure command line, and I was able to access all of the stuff just via command line and with existing tools for MySQL. So if I actually head over to the portal, you guys can see what it looks like in the actual portal itself. So like I mentioned behind the scenes, what the Kubernetes what the create Kubernetes cluster command actually did was create three nodes. So if I am able to access the portal real quick, I can show you the three VMs that it created. It also has a bunch of the, okay. It also has the, it shows you the resource groups and everything, and then also has the MySQL database. Portal works, guys. All right, here we go. Cool. Loading. All right, so this is the resource group that I created, and that is the OSBA Quick Start cluster. And if I click into the actual cluster itself, I can actually take a look at everything it created. And so I can see here that it was deployed in central US. I used 1.96 for the Kubernetes version. And I can see that it has three nodes. And then within the dashboard, I can use it to eventually link to like Azure Monitor or something to actually monitor the health of the container. And then it also provides me instructions on how to access the Kubernetes dashboard like we saw earlier. And so behind the scenes, it also creates another resource group, and this is the resource group that has all of the VMs in it. So you can actually take a look at the amount of resources it creates. Like it creates a VNet, it creates a network interface and all that good stuff behind the scenes. And so that was all done with just doing one simple command. So like I mentioned, we are using MySQL. So within the OSBA Quick Start resource group, it also created the MySQL server. And if I click into that, I can actually take a look at the databases in it. And for our service, there's a bunch of different things about it. So you can basically change the size of the database on the fly, like depending on how large your database wants. So basically scale it with the demand as it grows. Let's say all of a sudden my WordPress blog goes crazy because you guys are all looking at it, right? I can actually go and scale up storage, scale down storage as I need to, as well as our compute resources. So that's all done with, you know, a quick scale or one quick command in the Azure command line. We also provide a bunch of different pricing tiers. So you can see here, I'm using the general purpose pricing tier. But if you guys want to go for something with a little bit less compute resources, you can kind of use the basic pricing tier that can be used for kind of your dev and test workloads. And you have something that's more memory intense, you can use the memory optimized pricing tier as well. All right, so that was kind of the demo that I had in store for AKS. Hope you guys can check it out. I'll actually have a link to it in the resources. But I also wanted to show you if we have a minute. I can show you the app services templates that are available. So if you just go and you search WordPress in the marketplace, one of the first things that comes up is WordPress and WordPress on Linux. So this WordPress is default on Windows. So if I click on this one and I hit create, this in the workflow also allows you to create your MySQL database. Loading, loading, loading. So you can see here, I can choose Azure Database for MySQL and then pick the size of database that I want. So all these things are just a few clicks just to deploy, and we're hoping that kind of makes your lives easier in terms of having to manage different things and also puts everything to the same resource group. So I'm going to switch back. We'll wrap up. Okay, so a few pointers to different resources available. So obviously our documentation. If you guys have more questions about the service, please go check out the documentation, and you can always reach out to me if you do need extra help. Pricing's available. Please follow us on Twitter, and then ask questions on MSDN or Stack Overflow. We also have user voice available, so if there's features that aren't available in the service right now that you want to actually request, please go ahead and do that on user voice. We also have some samples available on GitHub in our Azure MySQL repo, and as well as the quick start that I ran through today. You guys should try that out. It's actually really easy to do. I also want to point to our Azure Database Migration Service. It's currently in private preview for migrating MySQL servers from on-prem and other clouds into our service. If you guys want to check that out, you have some MySQL hosted somewhere else. Definitely really good for minimal downtime migrations. And our CVP is going to be speaking later today at 2:45 in room 612 here. Go check it out. He's going to be talking more about all the different innovations that we have in the data and AI platform. And Rachel is going to be talking a little bit more about some of the things that we're doing in the Postgres and MySQL space. All right. Thanks, guys.